Welcome to the Coaching DNA Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Wyckoff. I'm also the founder of Kingdom Coaching, my consulting business in which I coach leaders. My guest this week is Blake Arbogast. Blake is the women's basketball coach at East Texas Baptist University. During part one of my conversation, we discuss the change from having captains to not having captains, making sure he's getting good fits for his program in the recruiting process, the impact his high school coach had on him, and much, much more. Blake is a really, really good coach and leader and is one of the best young coaches out there. So without further ado, my conversation with Blake Arbogast. Blake, thanks, man, for joining us. Why don't you walk us through your journey from high school to present day?
Yeah, Travis, thanks for having me. It's kind of a crazy journey. I went to a small little high school up in North Texas at Berkmanette High School. And always knew kind of at that point I wanted to get into coaching. My high school coach had a big impact on me, just kind of helped me through a rough childhood. And then I had an opportunity to go to Division III at Howard Payne University, where I did my undergrad. And going into my senior year, they actually started a grad program that opened up the opportunity to be a grad assistant as well. So became a GA my first year after my undergraduate with Howard Payne University. And then, you know, the Lord kind of called me into high school sports during that time. It was a 2-year master's program. So I was a year into that. And then just this coaching opportunity came back up closer to home. So I actually coached 1 year at Holiday High School. And I was the typical young guy that got thrown into all 3 seasons of sports. And it was a great opportunity. I saw that first comma in a paycheck and thought I was rich after college. Life was rolling. But then the assistant coach, when I was a grad assistant at Howard Payne, had an opportunity to go to the University of the Ozarks in Arkansas, Clarksville, Arkansas. He went there and called me. I was actually coaching baseball. We were on a nice playoff run in the spring after basketball. And he kept calling me, "Hey, got this opportunity for you. It's not going to pay much, but do you want it?" And I'm like, "We should lose this week in baseball. I'll be out there." And then we got hot and went on a long win streak. Ended up going out there and got my foot in the door. And I think that's the biggest thing for me is I was like, why would I go all the way to Arkansas? I just got engaged to my wife and like life was all good. But for whatever reason, I just kind of felt this sense of like, You got to go there. So took a massive pay cut. As anyone that's listening knows, college athletics is not all about the money. Went there for 2 years. We grinded it out, kind of turned the program around. And then the door kind of opened here at East Texas Baptist, which is where I'm currently at. Rusty Rainbolt was the head coach. Phenomenal guy. I could talk on him later if you need me to. But gave me an opportunity. I came to a camp and it was for a second assistant. So everything on paper is like, no, kind of a second assistant from a head assistant. I was on the men's side. Now I'm going to the women's side. But when I got on campus, it was just like, man, there is just over sense of peace. And just like, this is where I need to be. Not want to be, not have to be. And if you would have told me 5 years beforehand, if I would have been coaching women's basketball in Marshall, Texas, I would have thought you were crazy. So just kind of listening to that and just being like, yeah, this is where I need to be. I can't explain why or how, but this is where I need to be. And then I was an assistant and grinded here, and then COVID hit. And next thing you know, I got offered the head coaching job. And I just completed my 4th year as head coach here at East Texas Baptist.
Love it. Yeah. Thanks for walking us through that. Once you flesh out a little bit of what makes Rusty Rainbolt so good.
I mean, anyone that knows him knows he's a fire, like just super competitive. And I knew that from the outside looking in, because when I was on the men's side, we were in the same conference. And the redhead in him or whatever it is, just he's fiery. But when I got into the office with him and was working with him daily, man, that guy is super relational. Those girls will run through a wall for him. And he did it in such a way that wasn't superficial, and it was in small doses, you know, deposits. You know, I think heard from a wise guy one time, it's all about like an ATM interaction where you can make a deposit in relationships, because in athletics, it's going to be stressful times, especially from a coach to player, and you're going to make constant withdrawals. And if you don't have anything in there deposited, it's just never going to work. And he did a phenomenal job. He was super relational. He cared about the player, but also he cared about the woman that's in that jersey more. And it did that from staff to the custodial staff that came into the office, to the presidents, the ADs, just anybody he encountered. I mean, if you know Rusty Rainbolt, you know that he probably cares about you and is going to put any need that you have, stranger or not. So I think that was the biggest thing that I found out right away is like, man, that guy is like super relational. And that was his huge strength. So that was probably the biggest thing I took away was it doesn't matter how good of the players are. If you don't have that relationship, you'll never succeed. More importantly, he was changing and transforming their lives. And being here at East Texas Baptist, we're able to do that in a spiritual aspect. And that's another big aspect that he had going into this university and this program.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about your high school coach. You just briefly mentioned your high school coach was impactful, which it sounds like was a big, if not the primary reason you got into coaching. Talk a little bit about him.
Yeah. So the big thing with him is he's been there. I think he just retired last year, was at Burke Burnett High School, one of the kind of more successful high school coaches. But again, I think what made him so successful is I had a very rough childhood, you know, upbringing, parents kind of were in drugs and all that stuff. And my brother, who was in high school at the time, kind of took me under his wing. And then when he went on to start working and getting to college, I think Coach Nix, Danny Nix, that was his name, just understood the importance of building those relationships and trust and just trying to mold. And he let me know that just because that's my circumstance and that's my atmosphere, that doesn't have to define me. And he used basketball through that. And, you know, I was just like, man, if I can have half the impact that he had on me with players that I come in contact with coaching, I'm going to be all right. So that was kind of the big thing, is that's where I get my passion from, I think, is just being able to truly understand, like, I can change people's lives through the sport of basketball.
Yeah, dude, that's
awesome. So that was the big thing that got me going. I never really thought I would coach on the women's side, or always thought I was going to take the typical high school teacher and coach in the state of Texas. But some doors opened up through my journey, and here I am.
Yeah, it's interesting, Blake, working with both coaches who coach men and coaches who coach women. My experience, I have not coached women, but my experience is there's some nuanced differences, but there's some similarities in a lot of regards. So I could be wrong though. I want to ask you, what have you seen? What is the biggest differences walk me through men versus women, what you've learned. Yeah.
Yeah, I think kind of what you said was there's really not much difference when you actually get into the day to day. It's all relations, right? Guys, you're going to have to fight the ego a little more. Women, you're going to have to fight the emotions a little more. I mean, that just is what it is. But I think at the end of the day, if you have that relationship, you can coach them as hard as you want and ask them to do anything and they'll run through the wall. So I think really the big difference outside of like the relationship piece is it's kind of a complete different style of game. Men and women, women's going to be a bigger pure game, I guess, on the women's side. Men, it's going to be more about getting your guys in the right matchups and kind of using that athleticism and just letting them play in space. Now you can do that. It's all philosophies, but guys were a little bit harder to build those relationships with just because it was a kind of hard shell that every guy puts on. Because they don't want to break those walls down. But it was pretty special to see when I was leaving Ozarks kind of the impact that I really had, because they never really expressed anything. And then when I left, you know, they're pretty upset. And then the other day I had the opportunity to go watch one of my former players at Ozarks. He was coaching in the state championship side in Arkansas. And when I showed up, he just came and gave me a big hug and was like, "You don't have any idea the impact you made." And I'm like, "I'm pretty sure you couldn't stand me when I was there." So, you know, So it's really not different. I think in life, if you can make that impact and build those relationships, you can actually reach people's potential, and not just in an athletic sense, but spiritual sense and everything. So,
yeah. Okay. So let's take your, one of your strengths, I think, is just your ability to relate and connect to people in general, obviously specifically your athletes. Take the relationship aside. What else, what are the gifts you've been given that have allowed you to have success?
I think right now, since it is kind of early in my coaching career, I think one big thing that's playing to my success is that I am younger. So I was in their shoes not too long ago. And, you know, so many times I even talked to my, you know, we mentioned Danny Nix, my high school coach. I kind of talked to him just at times, and he's like, you have a better job at relating and helping these kids, because when it was, when I was in their shoes, it was a completely different thing. I mean, you have social media, you have different stuff. So being able to be a little more in sync with how they adapt and how they kind of went through high school and different thing has helped in recruiting as well too, because I think the whole mail out stuff, which was super successful back in the day, I think at times it probably maybe is cool to have something tangible. But through the recruiting process, they want to see everything on social media. They want to have everything pretty and all these graphics and all that stuff. And I think me being a little bit younger and not as distant from the time when I was in it from when they are now has been a big thing in my success. And then also too, I think just my youth is making me hungry, and I'm not an old stubborn guy that's like, this works and this is how it's going to go. My adaptability, I think, is another thing that has been huge in my success early on in my career.
Okay. So I love that. It's really good. And I can totally see that in you. How do you make sure that let's fast forward 10 years. How do you make sure that adaptability? So you're not like in 10 years, we're doing a podcast and you're like, you know, I've always done it this way. How do you avoid
that? I'm not sure. I think the biggest thing is staying as a sponge, you know, just trying to learn and grow and just trying to better myself, especially in the off seasons. It's so easy for us coaches to go through these exit meetings and tell these players on hard truths and what they need to work on. But the reality is we have to work too as coaches. We have to grow and get better, or we're never going to be able to take those steps. So I think, you know, in 10 years, I hope I'm still a sponge and trying to learn, and what's the new and improved ways of recruiting? What's the new and improved ways, like style of play, like what's working? And also doing that, but staying true to myself and what I am. So there's a fine line between that, especially in college athletics. You can recruit to your style specific. I think the big thing is always stay hungry and always trying to learn, be a learn it all, not a know it all. But I do know as time comes, I may be fighting that battle of thinking it's my way or the highway and I know it all and all this. And that's probably when I'll get humbled. So
yeah, totally. Okay. You mentioned recruiting. So I'm going to dive off of that and, kind of work through that a little bit. So how do you guys make sure the filter's there, or what is it? What's it look like for you guys? You see an athlete, you hear about an athlete, you go watch them. Obviously the physical stuff has to be there. Like, can they play basketball? Well, let's say they can hoop. What does that look like trying to figure out? One, do they fit our style? Two, are they going to fit our program from just a, maybe a personality, a character? Yeah, walk me through what that looks like as you guys filter, is this person right for us?
Yeah, I think we go to these big showcases, these big AAU events. We get film all the time, but your eyes won't lie to you. So I think the first thing is, if there's a kid of interest or someone reaches out to you, always pay them that respect, because if they want your university, I've found out in my 4 years that if someone wants to be at your place, man, their potential, the sky's the limit for them, even if they may not quite be there. So you have to get your eyes on them. That's first and foremost. And then once you've identified that maybe there's some talent or there's some strengths or whatever, I think you have to be very intentional with the questions you ask, going through the recruiting process and getting them on the phone and truly building that relationship, because kids are going to be nervous the first few times they talk to you. They're going to be very polished and answered. But the more that you start to ask the right questions or get into deeper conversations, you'll start trying to find out more of what's inside and the real character of that kid. And also, I think talking to parents is a huge thing too, because they're a big part in that recruiting process, not only just athletically, but just getting to know a little bit more about the family dynamic. So identify the kid, then really do your homework as far as being intentional with questions. Obviously, social media is a big thing, but you have to be careful of social media too, because they're only going to put out what's good and never really some bad stuff. So I think that's the big thing. And then, you know, once we feel good about that, it's getting them onto campus, letting them see what we have to offer, unless maybe they were at camp, but kind of more of a spend the day with them in person on a campus visit and showing them around and letting them ask questions to players. But not only for them to see campus and meet y'all as a program and a staff, but also for you to kind of get a little more insight on, okay, now that I've spent more than a, you know, 15, 20 minute, 30 minute phone call with them, I've spent, you know, pretty much the whole day with them and got to interact. And after that, I usually have a pretty good feel of, okay, is this the right fit for us in our program? Because it's not always all about talent. I mentioned at the start of this, if a kid wants ETBU, there's a big push for those type of kids. And we're blessed here with to have a developmental program. So if they're not quite there, we can actually take that time. It's kind of our version of a red shirt where we can develop them and get them. And again, I think it's just being intentional and asking good questions to the recruiting process.
And do you have any go-to questions? Do you have a couple questions that you have found that really that cuts to the chase? You get a pretty good idea pretty quickly from some of these questions.
Yeah, I mean, the typical, you know, what are you looking for is pretty revealing right away. Like, what are you looking for in this journey? They'll, without saying it word for word, you'll know if it's playing time, if it's just a good fit, if it's relationships with staff. So that's always kind of a go-to early on to kind of break the ice. What are you looking for? And then more importantly, what do you need in a program? Like, what are you trying to get out of a program? Because then they take the basketball out of it a lot of times, and they talk about forward thinking and thinking about, when I graduate, this is what I want. I want to walk across the stage with this degree, or, you know, lifelong friends and things like that. Those are kind of buzzwords or things that I'm looking for, is something that's a little more than just the basketball. Those two are really the kind of cut to the chase, and I can find out a lot just in those two. And then it kind of tailors to each kid and their story. You know, I always want kids with a story. I've shared my story a little bit. I want kids with a story, because I think I can relate to them a little more. And they're going through this for a reason. And then I usually ask them on the second or third call, once I feel they're a little more comfortable with me, is why? Like, what's your why? Who is your why? What is your why? Because college athletics isn't just it is fun, it's a good time, but it's a business, and you have to balance it. And there's going to be ups and downs, and there's going to be hard times. And usually when those kids share their why, that's a big telltale sign too of, are they about themselves, or are they about something bigger than that? And then, you know, being here at a private institution, the spiritual aspect is huge for us. So we kind of work through that and talk about, like, look, this may be uncomfortable. It's not your stereotypical college environment or experience, but if you want to know more about the Lord and see that, like, let's dive into that, because that's what you're going to get here. We're going to mold you as a woman, and the basketball is up to you to take care of it. So those are kind of the big questions for me, is, you know, getting a little deeper into what they're looking for, what they want from the program in 4 years, to get them some forward thinking. And then most importantly, like, what is your why? Like, what makes you you, and what's going to get you through those hard times? Those are some questions that will, for me, has helped reveal if it's a good fit for us here at ETBU or not.
It's good. So I'd be curious, maybe for you to think through, over the last 3 years, 4 years since you've been the head coach there, can you share an incident? I'm going to come from this angle. Sometimes our failures can teach us a lot and help us going forward. Is there a situation, I'd be curious, situation that recruiting, you get said girl on campus, and it just turns into a bad fit, at the end of the day, it is what it is. It's a bad fit. Looking back, maybe you learned some things. Is there a scenario that you can, maybe some red flags that you've overlooked? What have you learned about recruiting from some situations where you just, man, I just missed. We missed on this. We got to be better here. Yeah. You have any things to share?
Yeah. So early on, I mean, obviously it did a very successful program. I mean, they were a couple years before I got here, they were in the Elite Eight for the first time. They won the conference tournament. They were in the top 25, like 3 years in a row. So coming in, I was like, all right, keep the train moving. Let's not derail anything. But let's kind of put my own twist on it. And then as a young coach, I felt this kind of internal pressure of like, man, I have to raise the bar. Like I have to. And I think so many times that first year through that recruiting class, I got blinded a little bit by talent. It's just like, man, that girl can hoop. There's some stuff on social media or like, you know, me and this girl, but hey, that girl can go score 20 and 10 every night. Like, you know, so I got blinded by that. And I think, it's been revealed to me and I at a good expense, but that's kind of why I take that approach that I just explained is get to know them a little more, get them on campus, spend the day with them. And at the end of those campus visits, I typically will make the offer then to where they know what's being offered. They've seen campus and I feel good about it because I don't ever want to get to a point where I'm putting someone's talent above the character of this program. So
yeah,
that was a big expense. And she came in that her freshman year and I mean, she was great for us, but as we hit some adverse times and kind of bounced back that second year and we, you know, went through a nice little losing streak and, you know, foot was on the fire and expectations, I think some true colors and true character was revealed. And I was just like, man, and not only towards her, but revealed to myself. And I was just like, man, I gotta change this approach because I gotta have the right type of women in this program.
Yeah.
First and foremost, to go out there, not only to play good basketball, but to go out and what are they doing to represent you off the floor and in the community and different things. It's far, far greater than basketball.
Yeah, it's really good. Okay. Last recruiting question. What's a conversation with parents sound like? What are you talking to the parents about? How do you,
I think it's almost like we're recruiting the parents too. So I take the same approach of, you know, what are you looking for your daughter through this experience? Like, what are some big things that you as a parent need? Because it's easy to say like, hey, it's nice to meet you, we'll talk to you later, and then never talk to them. But I think getting into their head a little bit is important. So question asking and almost recruiting the parent the same way we do the athlete. Now they are separate. And at the end of the day, I found out that a lot of parents just ultimately want their daughter to be happy and be in a good place. But I can't assume that every time. So I think just as you're talking to them, get to know their dynamic because every family dynamic is different. You have split parents, you have parents that are together, some that, you might probably don't need to talk to the mom or the dad, depending on that dynamic, because they're not in the picture. So the big thing is asking them questions to see what they're wanting out of this, whether it's they're letting their daughter make those decisions, they want her to be close to home. I mean, there's a lot of variables, but asking those questions and recruit them just like you are the athlete, I've found to be most successful because you're building genuine relationships that are hopefully lasting a lot longer than the 4 years.
Yeah, that's good. All right, let's talk leadership development in your program. Do you do captains? Do you have a leadership council? Do you meet with the whole the whole team talking leadership? What's that look like?
Yeah, so we've tried. I want to be a sponge and I want to be a learn it all. So I've tried a couple different things. Early on, I went with the whole you assign a captain, that's your captain, and you go with it. And we've had some success with that. But what I've realized through that time is you're limiting the growth and empowering leaders outside of the assigned captain, right? So I've done some different things this past year leading into this year where we did more small groups. We're able to do like spiritual discipleship. So we tie in different types of leaderships with that. And going into this offseason, I think I'm going to do that same thing where it's, we don't have an individual leader. I'm giving that opportunity to the whole team to be leaders and be a player-led team. I think so many times if you label one person as a captain, everyone's going to deflect and almost not reach their full potential as a leader and what they can, because there's so much untapped potential inside these young women that we've had in our program that I'm just like, why would I enable that? Like, why would I keep them from getting that opportunity? So I have been surprised this past year, because we're kind of in a rebuild year this year. So going into it, we lost all five starters, a lot of upperclassmen. And I thought no better time than do it now and see kind of what happens. So you kind of have those players that naturally people want to follow. And to me, a leader is someone that has a following. Yep. And that can be good or bad, right? So I think for me is giving them an environment to understand what healthy and successful leadership looks like. And it's not 10 points a game. It's definitely, we're trying to mold godly women that can go out there and be leaders when the ball stops bouncing. And so I think I failed in a lot of ways early on, but that's been what's been successful is don't hold anyone back. Let them see that and let it form organically and naturally to your group each year. And another thing too is don't assume just because you got everybody coming back that it's going to fix. Like, you got to fight for it daily. And leadership is part of that culture that you got to fight for daily, because it changes. Even if it's the same exact people coming back, they're a year older. They are going through life and everything's different. You have maybe one new coaching staff member that changes the whole thing. So I think the big thing is creating an environment for everyone to reach that full potential and not hold them back. And I think personally, if you label one person as a captain, you're kind of limiting the other players on in your program.
And when you say small groups, give me a picture. What's that look like? Yeah. How's that play out?
Yeah. So we want to break up, depending on how big your roster is or your program is, you know, go four or five in a group and give them topics, and you're working on that. And then you open the floor for them to share. And what has been cool in this preseason that we did was we would do that. They would share. We would go like 2 weeks with this group where they were comfortable, and then boom, we'd switch up those groups. Mm. Because now they're building relationship not only with four other people, but they're doing it ultimately with the whole team through the course of preseason or an off season or however you want to lay that out. And now they just naturally have shared some, you know, maybe deeper stuff that's not so superficial with each other. And relationally, now you're able to challenge them and lead them and grow in that way. So that's what we've done. We've had different topics. We've done that same with our spiritual discipleship topics as well. But just about leadership qualities and going through that and just having different topics. And, you know, sometimes all the groups have the same one. Sometimes we've mixed up those topics to where we encourage those groups to share to where they can share that topic with someone else.